Today, we delve into the world of true crime on John, Not Quite Calvin. Hello, that's right. You heard correctly. You are listening to John, Not Quite Calvin. I am your host, John, Not Quite Calvin. Today, we are going to be talking a little bit about true crime, in a sense, not criticizing the culture necessarily, but actually taking a look at a true crime story of our own. Why, you may ask? Well, believe it or not, this is actually related to your boy, John, Not Quite Calvin. So let's get into this. All right, so there is a TikTok star by the name of Ali Abulaban in San Diego, California. He is accused of fatally shooting his estranged wife and her male friend in a San Diego high-rise. And Abulaban, 29 years old, pled not guilty in San Diego Superior Court on Monday to two counts of murder over the October 21st slayings of his wife, Anna Abulaban, 28, and her friend Rayburn Cadenas Barron, 29. So let's just look at this story a little bit. So supposedly, we have to say supposedly, even though there's literally like camera footage and things like that, but supposedly, Mr. Abulaban, who was actually reported earlier that week for domestic assault on his wife on October 18th, was kicked out of his apartment in San Diego. And the wife was going to be breaking off the marriage and putting in a restraining order, reports have it. And what ended up happening was Abulaban, the man that he is, brave man, broke into the house with a key that he hid and trashed the apartment of his wife. That's real mature. And then on top of that, he went into his five-year-old's iPad. That's odd that you would have an iPad for a five-year-old. But he went into his five-year-old's iPad and put a bug in it. He actually downloaded an app or he put something on the iPad where he could listen in to the apartment while he was on his phone. So what ends up happening is the wife, of course, comes into her house with her boyfriend. Not even her boyfriend. Actually, it was just a friend who just so happened to be male. Probably was there because she was afraid of Mr. Abulaban, as he was abusive and he had trashed her apartment before. So they are both in the apartment and they're just talking and laughing, probably just trying to get past this whole situation and how crazy it is. And what ends up happening? Mr. Abulaban goes from his hotel room all the way to the apartment complex, up the elevator, is seen running from the elevator into the apartment where he allegedly shoots both of them dead. Luckily, the daughter was not in the apartment at the time. She was actually at school. But Mr. Abulaban, after shooting his wife dead and her male friend, goes back down the elevator, into the car with the gun, picks up his daughter from school. Wait, before that, though, he calls his mother and confesses that he killed his wife. Then he goes into the car with the gun, picks up his daughter from school, and is going down the highway where he calls the police on himself. And then they pick him up with the gun and his daughter, put the daughter into child services, and from there he confesses to murdering his wife and her friend because he believed that she was cheating on him, and goes to jail. He had his hearing yesterday, Monday, to the two counts of murder. As I've already said, he pleads not guilty over the two counts of murder, the crime that he literally confessed to his mother. It turned out that he had told his daughter that he had hurt her mother and confessed to the police. Mr. Abulaban, when the crime eventually comes back up on the docket, will be facing either a life sentence or even the death penalty for his crimes. He was not allowed bail. He was not allowed to go out. He went immediately back to jail because the prosecutor felt he was a flight risk and a danger to society. So, how does this man, how does this story relate to your boy John Not Quite Calvin? How does a TikTok star with almost a million views, how does he relate to a a Reformed Christian podcaster with five listeners? He went to BMT with me. He went to basic military training with me. I actually knew him in basic military training. And I have to say that he was kind of scummy then. He continues to be scummy now. Murdered his wife. And like, I was actually more surprised that he became slightly famous than the fact that he murdered his wife. But I'll go ahead and I'll talk about this like from kind of a religious perspective here, just because this is a religious podcast and this is just an interesting story. So Mr. Abulaban was very abusive to his wife, treating her very disrespectfully. Was going to have a restraining order put on him and was told to stay away from her, stay away from the family, kicked out of the house. And the thing is that, to be honest, the Bible doesn't really talk about many things that are grounds for divorce, but if I'm being honest, like biblically speaking, when you're married to somebody, you should never be physically abusive towards them. That's not loving them. That's not caring for them. That's not cherishing them. And it shows that you are more sinful than you think you are. Because like abusing a woman, you have to be pretty messed up to abuse a woman, to be honest. Because men are made differently than women. Men are stronger than women. We're more aggressive and we can easily overpower women. And the thing is that we have to realize that when we are dealing with people of the opposite gender, we can easily hurt women. And so our job as men are to protect, not to attack. Okay, like, yes, you can be a soldier. You can fight for your country. You can fight for your family. That's fine. That's well and good. In fact, that's more than fine. That's an honorable choice. But never are we called to fight women. And even though we're called to be the leaders of the household, you know, the head of the house, and women are called to be submissive, that doesn't give us leeway to be physically abusive. In fact, like I said, it's completely unbiblical and it's completely anti-Christ-like to be abusive towards your wife. The next thing is that he bugged his daughter's iPad. Why? And like, why would he? The answer is he wanted to justify his crime. He already knew that he was going to kill his wife. He knew he was. The man was extremely jealous and he didn't trust his wife. He was abusive towards her. He had been kicked out of the house. And she was, you know, obviously in his life, she was a very beautiful woman. So why wouldn't she have another suitor? The other thing is, like, who's to say that he wasn't cheating on her? Most times when people are like really jealous and aggressive about something, it's because they've thought about doing it or they are doing it. So he's abusive towards her. He gets kicked out of the house. He puts a bug in his daughter's iPad and he hears them. So what does he do? He goes in and murders them. The crime, the punishment for him was death, right? And the crime that had been committed was his wife was spending time with another guy. And in his world view, She was cheating on him. So the crime, cheating on him, adultery. The punishment, death. And you'll notice too that if you actually read the article, anytime that he confesses to the crime in the story, he always points back to, because I thought she was cheating on me. Like when he tells the detectives that he murdered them, he says, because I thought she was cheating on me. Like the crime for him, he was justified. It was just for him to murder his wife because she was possibly cheating on him. Like how messed up is that? How messed up do you have to be that you think that you are so special that a relationship with you is life or death? That being submitted to you and just taking your abusiveness and taking your crap is worth somebody else's life. And the thing is that this just really points to the sinfulness of men, if you really think about it. Because it really does point out the fact that sin always tries to justify itself. It doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter how big it is. Sin always tries to justify itself. We always want to say that we did right. That we didn't do a single thing wrong. Mr. Abulaban, when he murdered his wife, called the police, and he believed himself to be the hero and in the right. Because he thought he was justified in murdering his wife and possibly the man that she was cheating on Mr. Abulaban with. That's the only reason that he turned himself in. That's the only reason he would confess to the thing, is because he thought it was justified. He felt it was just. He felt that he had done right by murdering a woman for possibly cheating on him. And the thing is, like, isn't it interesting how we always view ourselves as the good guy? Like, think about it. Like, we really view ourselves as the good guy in almost any circumstance. Whether it's dealing with other people, whether it's dealing with institutions, or whether it's even dealing with God. We always want to believe that we are the good guy, that we're justified and we have done something and we justify ourselves before God. When we have bad theology, we're trying to justify our lives and the way that we're doing things to God. We're always trying to work. This is why work-based salvation is so popular, is because we're constantly trying to justify ourselves. Why is Arminian so popular? Because we have to play a role in justification, according to Arminianism. Justification and salvation doesn't come just from Christ. It is paid by Christ, but we, being good, being, you know, the good guy that we are, have to choose Christ. We have to choose him. And think about it. The people who are coming up with Arminian theology are people who are Christians. Like, they have to be Christian in some sense to come up with this. And it's become popularized because not only is it, like, really, like, easy to hear, easy kind of to believe, but it makes us feel better. We had a role in salvation. God wanted us so badly that we had to choose him. He couldn't have just saved us. We had to do something for God to want us. You see the issue with that? Arminianism, much like sin, has to justify us, essentially. We have to justify ourselves in the salvation story. Because when we look at salvation through the lens of like Calvinism, really human beings don't contribute anything to their salvation except the sin that made it necessary. We can't save ourselves. We can't do anything in salvation. We have no part in it. But the thing is that by human nature, and our nature is sin, we have to justify ourselves. We always have to be in the right. Whenever we sin, whenever we do something that's wrong, we always have to justify ourselves. So when we are given the opportunity to partake in the ultimate good, why wouldn't we jump at the opportunity to justify ourselves in that? Why wouldn't we jump at the opportunity to put ourselves in a seat of importance? Human beings do that all the time. Sin does that all the time. Sin is so intertwined in our nature that it spreads to everything that we do. We have to justify ourselves. We have to justify our actions. We're never the bad guy. Never did anything wrong. This is why there's so much drama, right? This is why there's so much drama in a church or in a community of people that are sinners, because we tend to gossip, because we want to feel like we're justified. We're good to go. We're the victims. I mean, you can hear one story three different ways. And in each one of the stories, each one of the ways that it's spoken, the person telling the story is the good guy. It is very, very rare that somebody will admit that they're wrong. Extremely rare. To Mr. Abulaban, he is in the right. He did something that was just. He will pay for his crime. He confessed to it. But he will probably go down to the grave feeling that what he did was justified. He may have gone too far, but he was just in feeling that way. Sin always justifies itself. And it doesn't matter how small, it doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter which way you look at it. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about. I know this is kind of like a quicker episode than usual, but it's just, you know, it's just one of those things where, like I said, humankind is one of the most wicked creatures to ever live, because no matter what situation, no matter what we're doing, we always think that we're in the right. And the thing is, why did Mr. Abulaban plead not guilty? He confessed to the crime. He is guilty of two accounts of murder. But the reason that he pled not guilty is because he's hoping that by going to trial, he can convince one or multiple, or, you know, heaven forbid, all of the jurors that he didn't do it, or that he was justified in doing it. He was driven to that point, and he was the victim. He was the one that needed, rescue from this horrible woman. And he couldn't live anymore with her. So he had to kill her. He's going to try to do that, I guarantee it. And the thing is that he pled not guilty, so it would go to trial, so that he could try to convince at least somebody on the jury that he doesn't deserve the death penalty or life in prison without parole. Because, man, Abulaban thinks that he's really not that bad of a guy. He doesn't deserve to die. He doesn't deserve to die. Never mind the fact that he felt that because somebody cheated on him that they deserved to die. Never mind the fact that somebody didn't like him as much as he liked himself. They deserve to die for it. You see the issue? And murder isn't the most selfish thing that we can do. And, you know, the other thing is that, like, murder isn't, like, the worst crime that we can commit. If you really think about it. It's terrible. He took the life of another person. You know, I can't honestly say that she's innocent, because none of us are innocent before God. But he still took the life of an image bearer. He still felt that he could take justice in his own hands and destroy her. He felt that he was justified in doing what he did. That's why he did it. It's as simple as that. So, yeah, just think about that. Like, people are capable of the most heinous crimes. We're extremely, extremely selfish people. That's the reason that relationships are supposed to be sacrificing. That's why we're supposed to be Christ-like. That's why you know, wives are supposed to be like the church. They're supposed to submit and they're supposed to sacrifice their time, energy, and effort towards their husbands. But the husband needs to also give time, energy, effort into the relationship up to the point of sacrificing his life for his wife. And his wife should be willing to sacrifice herself for his sake too. It goes both ways. The thing about relationships is it's supposed to be sacrificial both ways. You know why? Because we're both supposed to be image bearers of Christ, because we're both supposed to be believers. Okay, so you need to sacrifice your time, energy, effort, and emotions. But so does your wife. Your wife needs to sacrifice her time, energy, efforts, emotions for you to make sure that you're doing well. You know why? Because we're both in need, because we're both sinners. Just because you're supposed to be the image of Christ in your family doesn't make you Christ. It doesn't make you perfect. It doesn't make you God. It doesn't give you the right to inflict pain, suffering, and judgment on somebody else because of your feelings, because you feel wronged. It does not give you the right to take the other person's life because you think that they are cheating on you. You are not that important. Is it wrong to cheat on your spouse? Absolutely. It's heinous. It's horrible. It's evil. But that does not justify murder. It does not justify murder. Nothing justifies murder. It is one of the most selfish things that you can do, because you feel, remember our conversation, that the crime and the sentence is based on the offended party. So in the case of Mrs. Abulaban, Mr. Abulaban felt that her cheating on him after he had been abusive and horrible to her was death. Either you submit to me and you be my wife and you do everything that I want you to, and you don't even talk to another man in this house, or you will die. No mercy. He shows no mercy. No forgiveness. Completely not how God intended marriage to look. Of course, he is a godless man. He is a worldly man. But the way that marriage works is the way it was designed to work. It was designed by God in a specific way. So even though he is not a godly man, his marriage relationship, his life, and everything he does is going to be held to the biblical standard, because that is the ultimate standard, because it was set by the ultimate ruler and authority and judge. It was set by God. So Mr. Abulaban will face the criminal justice system of San Diego, California. And I'm sure that he is more than terrified. He was sobbing out of control during the hearing. So I'm sure he's afraid of that. But I hope that Mr. Abulaban fears the judgment that's coming to him from God more. I hope he finds Christ. I hope that he seeks forgiveness and reconciliation. He may have committed a despicable crime, but we must remember, friends, that we also have committed despicable crimes against God. Even though we haven't gone forth and actually murdered somebody, we have murdered them in our hearts. We have hated God. We have tried to murder him in our hearts. Time after time after time. Anytime that you blame God for something that isn't his fault and it's completely your fault because you want to justify yourself and you want to be the good guy, you're just as bad as Mr. Abulaban, because you murder the giver of life. You're even worse than Mr. Abulaban because you murder the giver of life. You hate him. because of a situation you and your sin put yourself in. Think about that. But yeah, sinner's going to sin, and every sin is selfish, and it becomes fully apparent when that crime is exposed to the world, and when that crime is as heinous as a double homicide, because you felt that your wife was cheating on you. So let's think about that, friends. Let's think about the gospel. Let's think about the fact that even though we have committed even worse crimes towards the God of mercy, towards our giver of life, towards our provider and our sovereign, yet even while we were enemies, Christ died for us. And when we put our faith in him, believe on his name, repent of our sins, trust fully in him, we will be saved, we will be justified, no matter our crimes against the Most Holy, because Jesus paid it all, friends. And that's why all to him we all owe. Until next time, Soli Deo Gloria.